I have some thoughts I've been thinking about. You know, I was home yesterday and I was watching this political candidate. He was giving his speech on TV, and he was in a public forum, and he was telling what he, I guess basically the things that he was standing on and what that he believed was right, and he gave some, in my opinion, he gave some pretty good answers on some subjects and some things that was asked to him that was no doubt meant to put him on the spot. But nevertheless, I was thinking that, you know, the world that we live in is so, I don't know the best way to put it, morally confused on a lot of different things. You know, they some of the topics that came up was, you know, abortion and homosexual marriage and all these different things that come up that shouldn't even be a topic, in my opinion, as far as a candidate to run for an office, what he believes on this. I mean, it shouldn't even be a topic or a point of discussion, but it is. The world that we live in today, those things have been skewed and twisted to the point that there is so much confusion in the world that we live in. You know, I got to thinking about morals and just things in general. You know, we live in a world today that it's just chock full of rules and regulations and things that you do and everything. But, you know, I got to thinking, what good is a rule or a law without a moral? Without people that have morals to follow them? Without people that know right and wrong, good and evil, black and white, however you want to say it? You can make all the laws and you can make all the rules that you ever want to make in this world, and unless the people that are there to follow those rules have a moral foundation of right and wrong, then it won't do any good. It just won't do any good. We stand by our thoughts and our premises, you know, on freedom of speech and freedom of this and freedom of that, and all those things has been taken so far out of what they were intended to mean, to the point that those of us that want to use freedom of speech to tell people about Jesus, that's the ones that's in the wrong now. So many things is twisted. I was thinking about morals and our thoughts. I looked up in Webster's morals. The practice of the duties of life, conduct, behavior, course of life in regard to good and evil. I got to thinking, you know, there was a law that was given by God. I'm going to take my reading lesson out of the 20th chapter this morning of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. I'll start reading in the first verse. Now this is, I'm sure everybody knows, this is the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, start reading in verse 1. It says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is therein, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. I'm going to stop my reading right there. The Lord gave Moses commandments, direct commandments for, I believe, is still just as prevalent in today's time as it was back in this day that it was written or that it was given. I believe the things that are given here are just as important today as they were then. And I believe that if people understood these things, that there wouldn't be all these questions going on right now, and wouldn't be all the moral, I guess, misconduct or moral misunderstanding of things that goes on, because there's many things that can be said. You think about what morals is, and I was just thinking, about morals, the expression of a moral, you know, the morals in someone, what's expressed as good or bad in someone, the course of their life, the life that they live, the outward expression or actions of the inner person, if you will. You know, the greatest power that's given to those of us that have been saved by God's grace, short of the power of God, is the life that we live, subject to the Holy Spirit of God directing our lives to allow us to know what's right and wrong. Along with His Word, and along with what His Word says, there's a lot of other things that people want to claim as power, and they want to claim to that the more money you have, the more power you have. You know, money is power. Well, no, it's not. What I got was free. What I got was free, and it's the most important thing that I could ever have. Those commandments that God give us, I feel the need to just start at the top and go through them. Now, I don't know if I'll do this in consecutive days or how I'll do it, but or if If it'll change by next Sunday, I don't know. But I just, this morning, I want to look, starting at the first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I want to start with that this morning, and I want to just take a little bit of a look at that. As we think about that, we think about, I was trying to decide, you know, how to present this. What does a God look like? What does a God entail? What does a God do? There's a lot of people in the world that don't even believe that there is a God, or of any shape, form, or fashion. But we do. We believe in a God that we read about here in this Bible. We believe that what the Bible teaches, that I think in the writings of John 4:24, it says God is a spirit. So as far as visibility is, we can't see God. God is a spirit. Jesus gave reference to it over in the book of Luke, and he says that touch me and handle me. I'm not as a spirit, as one that cannot be touched or seen. So a spirit is something that can't be touched with our physical hands. We can't lay our hand on it. You can't see it with a physical eye. So that takes away portions of what we would have to use for, I guess, evidence or proof that of the God that we serve. You can't see Him and you can't touch Him. But there is so many things in this Bible that allows us to know and understand. I'll say right off first thing this morning, I know there's a God because I've experienced Him. And I guess that's really, when you get right down to it, a personal experience with the Lord is the only way that anybody will ever know for sure that there is a God. Short of that relationship or that personal experience that you had with the Lord, when the Lord saved your soul, you cannot know that there is a God. All that you can do is read what a book says. But I had rather have assurance, hadn't y'all? I'd rather know of it. Eternity is not something to guess about. Or hope so, or maybe I think. Eternity is forever. And so I want to know. I want to know. And I, you know, you read through the Bible, and it talks in this book of Exodus, of course, about the children of Israel and being released from the bondage of Egypt, and the presence of God. You know, Moses, he spoke with a burning bush there. He got his directions from that burning bush. Now, he knew that was God. How did he know that? I think the only way that he could have known it is through a personal experience that he could understand and know that it was God speaking to him. God, when Moses told Moses what he had to do, he's like, Moses or the Pharaoh, he won't have any respect for me. Who am I? God said, tell him, I am that I am, sent you. God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. We can read in the very first sentence of this Bible, it says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. He created everything. All the miracles and the wonders and everything that He did that allowed the children of Israel to escape the bondage of Egypt, and all the things that went before them. Talked about a spirit. It doesn't have shape or form. But there was a cloud of fire by night. And there was a pillar of a cloud by the day that led those people. You look at a cloud outside, it doesn't have a shape or a form. But something was leading them, wasn't it? And they knew that that something had to be of great power. It was something that parted a sea that allowed them to walk across a sea on dry ground. Whether they had a personal experience with God or not at that point in time, they could see the power and the manifestation of God. They seen the thunderings on the mountain when Moses went up to get the commandments. They seen the fire. They feared. They heard the thunderings and the lightnings and all the things that come on. They knew that there was a higher power. They knew that there was a God. I was thinking, you know, how I was just raised to always believe that there was a God. I never give it a second thought, or never even considered anything otherwise. You know? If I'd have questioned it, I'd have probably been told to just hush. You don't know what you're talking about, you don't need to be saying anything. But that was just the way I was raised. And I guess that's a great advantage that we have. Just having a moral foundation that there is a God in heaven that created this heaven and earth, and that He is in control and in power of everything here on this earth. I mean, to me, it's not that big of a thing, because I believe it with all my heart. But to a lot of people in this world, that's a fact or something that they just can't get a hold of, because there's not a proof that they can put to it. You know? They can't see it, and they can't grab a hold of it. The morals that we have, there's scripture after scripture in the book here that we have to read. In the sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, third verse, it says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe and do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." The words in our heart. You know, I guess, when you can feel it, you don't have to worry about seeing it, do you? We sing about heaven all the time. In our song books, we sing all the time songs about heaven. Has anybody in here seen it? Has anybody ever visited him? Knows anybody that has visited and come back to tell you about it? No. But we know it's there, don't we? Don't we? We have an assurance in our heart, and because of God's Word, it tells us that it's there, and we know that it's right. Why? Because of the immutability of God. He cannot change. He cannot lie. And He cannot change. So what He said is right and true. The attributes of God is how we know and understand and see God for God. Omnipresence. You know, His being present everywhere. You know, that's something it's hard to grasp, isn't it? That He is here in this church this morning. He's over in that church today. He's over in that church today. He's all over. If they're having their organization of that church over in Africa at this point in time, He's there with them right now, just like He is here. He is omnipresent. All places. That's the God we serve. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows. He knows all. He knows all. Sometimes we think that we can hide from God. That we can hide things in our life from God. That we can hide sin from God. That we can do whatever we want and God doesn't see it. He is all known. Period. Period. He knows all. Knows everything. He knows us better than we know ourselves. This is the God that we serve. He is all powerful. Omnipotent. All powerful. Like I said before, He created the heavens and the earth. One day, when He comes back, He's going to destroy it. He's going to destroy it. This is a God that we serve. But just having the understanding that there is such a deity, such a power, such it's beyond words. Such a God. Just to know that and have the assurance of that. And to know this morning in our hearts that that's the God that we serve. That's the God that loved me, that sent His Son to die on a cross for my sins, that I can be with Him one day in that heaven that I don't never seen and don't know nothing about, but know it's there. That's the God that I serve. Created the moon and the stars and the trees and all those fish that I like to catch so much. All those things out here, God created them. We can find over in the book of Romans, in the first chapter, we can see that in the first verse, in the first chapter, 19th verse, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The world is without excuse. You know, if the Lord had never called a preacher,
to preach Jesus to the lost people. If he never set a church up, if he never sent Jesus back for us, to die for us, we would still be without excuse. We'd still be without excuse. Because the things from creation of this world are clearly seen. There had to be a higher power making. There had to be a higher power making. It didn't come from some germ just floating out in the middle of nowhere. It's clearly seen that this God that we serve created this place that we are allowed to live in. And he loved us. He loved us. He loved us that much. As I said, you know, the only way to know God is to have that personal experience. I believe over in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, in these first 12 verses here, in this Sermon on the Mount, this is the first sermon that Jesus preached in his earthly ministry that's recorded that I know of, and says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I believe this word blessed here, I spoke last week a little bit about being profitable. I believe this word blessed has a meaning of being profitable. These people, this person that has done this, that has been poor in spirit, they will profit from this Almighty God that I've been talking about this morning. The person that mourns and weeps over their sins and calls out to this Almighty God that I've been talking about this morning that they might be saved, they will be profitable because they will find God. The person that is meek in spirit, that hunger and thirst after righteousness, that keeps on seeking God until they find Him. They know there's a God up there and they want to be there and they seek Him and they hunger for Him and they want to be saved. When I was lost, I knew I was lost and I wanted to be saved and I knew I had to seek and I had a hunger and a thirst for what everybody else had. I wanted that Spirit of God working inside of me that I'd heard testified time after time after time. I wanted to be able to feel that God that they talked about. I wanted to feel Him. I couldn't see Him and I couldn't touch Him, but they all talked about feeling Him. And I wanted to feel Him. I wanted to know He was real in my heart. And when I got to that place, I found Him. I met Him. And He became real to me. He became a personal God to me, one that I can know and understand. One that hears me when I pray. I'm so thankful for that. Blessed are the pure in heart and the peacemakers. This people or persons or however you want to say, they became profitable because they found God. They found this one true God. This one true God that I'm speaking of this morning. They found Him. They found Him. I pray that we, as God's people, there's example after example after example of the people of God in His Word in here turning away from Him and turning to everything else. And that's the second that we'll get to. But maybe now that we have some part or a little bit better of an understanding of just who our God is, that we can think about that first one and have no other gods before us. Have no other gods before us. None. Whatsoever. That's my message this morning. I pray the Lord will take and use it. Would there be a thought or a word on anyone's heart this morning? Anything else on anyone's heart? Yeah. Business meeting will be tonight. Huh? Can't understand somebody that can read through this and maybe professing to have a life and a relationship with God, but never knowing Him, never understanding what they're reading to the true extent that they can feel it and know it. I don't know. I don't get it. They've been made to think. Many instances, they've just been made to think that they're okay. There's a preacher or a priest or somebody somewhere down the line has made them to think that they're safe, they're good to go, heaven's going to be their home, don't worry about it, just go on through life. Lord, I hope they got enough sense to seek this one true God. I hope they just take the time and seek the one true God, because that's the only way. Anything else on anyone's heart this morning? Been good to be in the Lord's house. Good to be here today. Glad to see each and every one of you. If you're visiting us today, we're certainly glad to have you and hope you'll come back every chance you get. Going to say conference meeting tonight, business meeting. All that can well, please come back. All hearts and minds free. And we'll be dismissed. Zach, would you dismiss us this morning?